So, I mean, right now, like, obviously Palestine and the Palestinian liberation struggle has come to the forefront of, like, a lot of public discourse. And the Intifada broke out on September 29th, year 2000, several months after the Camp David proposal. So I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to go back chronologically and to contextualize it. But this is a generous offer. Like, for those of you who don't know what the generous offer is, it's an offer made by Ehud Barak, then Prime Minister of Israel, to the Palestinian negotiating team, which is comprised of Yasser Arafat, Saab Erekat, and several other people. And this was the historic compromise, the compromise that was going to end the struggle between the Palestinians and the Israeli state. And that's what it looked like. This is a historic, the generous offer. Generously, it allowed annexation of the West Bank lands, what is known as the West Bank. So the striped parts are what were going to be annexed to Israel, and these parts were going to be kept as security zones. And between these parts, you have three enclaves, and these were going to be the Palestinian state. For this map, I'm relying on a map that was published in Le Monde Diplomatique, and the proposals, or the map that was issued by the Orient House, which was also part of the negotiation. So this was a historical compromise of the Palestinian state. This is what the Palestinian state was going to be. And the Palestinians obviously rejected it. A lot of people didn't quite understand why they rejected it. Like, not many people saw this map. As a matter of fact, this map has never been shown on mainstream, in the mainstream media, neither in Canada nor in America. This map has never appeared on mainstream media. People in Palestine see this map, they know what's going on. And but this map, like, Americans, Canadians don't know what this map's about. So it's important to kind of, like, point out what was going on in 2000. And this was a Palestinian state. The little pyramids, the triangles here, are Israeli settlements. Over 300 settlements housing 400,000 Israeli settlers are in this land. Ehud Barak offered to dismantle 20% of these settlements, leaving 80%, the bulk of them being in Ma'ali Adumim, which is over here, and several other settlements that are over here. And these are to be confiscated into Palestinian land. The Israelis were to maintain military, economic, and superiority over the West Bank. The West Bank was supposed to be demilitarized. Policemen issued with small firearms and short-range firearms to police inhabitants of them. So what we have here, basically, as activists from South Africa pointed out on visiting the West Bank, is a Bantustan arrangement. We have three Bantustans where, as Raphael Eaton, a former army chief, a former chief of staff in the army, said, the Palestinians will be constrained as drugged cockroaches in enclaves, unable to travel from one enclave to another without passing through the Israeli security zone. And of course, so basically, they don't even have freedom to travel. Even in between these, in between the enclaves, you will have settlement roads leading from one settlement to another, for example, and it'll dissect the land. So this is a Bantustan arrangement that was offered in the year 2000, and the Palestinians rejected it. So understanding the logic of this arrangement, I think we have to talk about Zionism, about the Zionist ideology, about the previous efforts made to enforce this ideology in Palestine. And when we talk about this, we're going to find many similarities between what is going on in Palestine and what happened to the First Nations in North America. As a matter of fact, what happened to many First Nations and indigenous peoples around the world in the face of colonialism. So to talk about Zionism, we have to understand a basic concept. In 1897, the World Zionist Organization held its first meeting in Basel, Switzerland, coming up with a four-point platform. One of the points was to colonize Palestinian lands. This was Palestine pre-1947. All of this was Mandate Palestine. So the World Zionist Organization wished to colonize this land and to create a Jewish state in this land. What a Jewish state means is that Jewish people, or people of Jewish origin, will be at the helm of the military, the economy, and the cultural sphere of this land. So it'll be, it's kind of like Chaim Weizmann, who was one of the heads of the World Zionist Organization, when he was questioned in 1919, what do you mean by a Jewish state or by a Jewish homeland? He said, Palestine will be as Jewish as England is English or France is French. So it'll be a homogeneous Jewish state based on ethnicity, based on religion, based on a new nationalism, which is Zionism. And after 1897 and in the decade before, Zionists started to colonize this land. There was an indigenous Jewish population of around 30,000, which was located in Jerusalem and in Hebron over here. Between 1897 and 1917, there were 60,000. I didn't see that.
About 10.
Oh, 10. So in between the early 1900s and 1917, there was a population of around 60,000 that came to this land, forming settlements. The first one was Pat Tikva, Tel Aviv was established in 1901, and forming several settlements around the country. Much of this settled land, contrary to myths, colonial myths that the land was uninhabited, had to be settled at the expense of the Palestinian peasants who before they inhabited the lands. So many lands were purchased from absentee landlords, and the peasants who tilled these lands for centuries were evicted, creating a small-scale ethnic cleansing, or transfer, in the words of Ben-Gurion, that started in the 1900s. In 1917, England officially endorsed the establishing of a Jewish state in the Balfour Declaration, which was issued in 1917. This was incorporated into the League of Nations mandate in 1921. So you had superpower intervention to basically ethnically cleanse the land from Palestinians and establish a Jewish state. The Palestinians revolted in 1921, 1929, 1936, a continuous revolt after 1948, which culminated in a mass uprising in 1987 and once again in the year 2000. So that's very, very important to understand. We have to understand that it's a colonial project, and it's also an apartheid project, because if it's going to be a Jewish state, it's not going to be a state of its citizens. It has to be a majority of Jewish people in the state, or otherwise it'll be a transparent apartheid regime. So the Palestinians have to be depopulated, and Jewish people have to come and settle the land. And that was, in fact, what happened in 1947, when 100,000 Palestinians were expelled from the land at gunpoint, and in 1956, a smaller-scale one, and 1967. So you had continuous mass expulsions of Palestinians, which continue to this day. Although they might not be apparent right now, there are very concerted efforts to make life so miserable for the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza that they will just leave. They will just go. In the words of former tourism minister Benny Elon, who is an advocate of voluntary transfer, voluntary transfer is making life so hard for the Palestinians that they say, "I want to leave." That's like in his own words, in an interview he gave to the Army Radio in January. So this is Zionism, political Zionism, as embodied in the World Zionist Organization and the State of Israel. In 1967, the Israelis occupied the West Bank and Gaza, and that continued the occupation of historic Palestine. As soon as they occupied the West Bank and Gaza, they got an additional population of 2 million more Palestinians. Now, what to do with them? There were several proposals. One was just expel them outright. The other one was the moderate, the dovish proposal. And that was basically to settle them or to place them in demographic Bantustans and to retain overall security. That was embodied in the Yigal Alon plan in the 70s and in several other plans. And this is what we have right now. So this is basically the history of the peace process. In 1993, Israel and the PLO signed a peace deal. Between 1993 and 2000, the number of settlements doubled, the number of settlers doubled, and there was always a steady exodus of Palestinians leaving the land because they just couldn't find jobs and life was too hard for them. So, this is basically what happened till 2000. And I think that, a lot of times people don't really seem to get that what we are witnessing right now in front of the world, basically, and in the full view of the world, is an apartheid in the making. Because if they are not expelled, the Palestinians, they will be limited to just these Bantustans. It'll be a complete apartheid. They will have no control over their destiny, no control over their economy, no control over their self-determination. They will have a collaborative regime in the form of the PA to rule over them, to keep them in check, to keep the more radical elements in check. And this is something that we have to put a stop to before it gets too late. Some people say it already is too late. The former Israel Shahak was in the habit of saying, you will never get rid of these settlements until some major natural disaster occurs or there's a major war. And the Palestinian resistance shows, for the past 2 years, the Palestinians have been waging a war of liberation. They have not achieved much in terms of removing the settlements. And much of the settlement money, a lot of this money comes from Montreal to build the settlements. A lot of it comes from Toronto. A lot of it comes from the states, both from the government and from the communities, the Zionist communities within the United States of America. And, you know, I think it's something that we really have to try to put a stop to. And I know people attended the divestment campaign, the divestment workshop that was given just today. But, you know, there are efforts, concerted efforts, to try to mobilize as much support against the settlement policy and against the occupation. And we have to realize that people in North America are not exempt from joining this struggle. As a matter of fact, it's their responsibility, given the fact that this would not be happening if it were not for North American support. So I'm going to stop right now. Like, I'm sorry I couldn't go more into detail. It is, I mean, I drew a lot of maps, which I wanted to discuss, but I only have 2 minutes. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to leave a sheet, maybe after the discussions are over, and people can just, like, sign it if they're interested in kind of, like, working on the divestment campaign or working on Palestinian solidarity.